Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey, folks, we are in for an absolute treat. You got two bald guys. This is Chris Niemeyer, and Chris and I met through a mutual friend, Dan Miller. And Chris, I've been thinking about this interview, no joke, for 7 months.
Awesome.
Yeah, because you remember, I reached out to you about 7 months ago, and I said, I like what you're doing. I'm going into that space. But then I just had to work on some internal business things before I could devote time and attention to blockchain. But you are a guy who's on fire. You're all over the country closing properties. But give us the journey from pre-COVID, because we're just chatting, and what happened in blockchain and NFTs and crypto, and people's minds are going to be blown here. All right, let's jump in.
Sounds good, man. Well, this is, yeah, certainly a huge topic, so we can go in many different directions. But we've met kind of through being entrepreneurs, through being business owners. I have been a business owner for myself for the last 16 years, primarily in the space of an online travel companies. And so those were going well and kind of got those to a point where my employees were running it day to day. A few years back, I was like, you know, I'm going to get into doing a little more online in terms of a presence here and coaching and all that.
Right? Like thought leadership, maybe even. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Just kind of helping influence that. I had a podcast with some other entrepreneurs, really just talking about life and entrepreneurial leadership, but also being a great family man too.
And then
COVID hits. Right. And so we all think of like, boy, restaurants had a hard time. Bars had hard times. They could pivot a little bit, and they did. And they found ways to still do some stuff. Guess what got hit probably the hardest? That was the travel industry.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Wow. I mean, no one was booking travel. People book stuff in advance, right? Well, they're booking with us. So I'm writing big refund checks back to people all during 2021. And so getting my team, we had employees, 12 different states, getting them all set up with, hey, reality is we're having to lay off. There's going to be unemployment. So I'm getting them all kind of prepped. And then it was like this moment of going, okay, well, if that's dried up, these other things I've been dabbling in, and we'll talk about blockchain, kind of how I got started there, but in real estate and other investments, I'm going to just pick this up and run with it. And I don't know what that's going to look like initially, but I'm just going to go for it. And so that was really kind of the spur of this thing happening. I had a personal retreat with myself in May of 2020. And just said, okay, if I'm gonna get into this, what's it gonna look like? What do my life to look like in a few years? And you know, what am I interested in, good at? And just ran with these couple of topics, and that's really kind of birthed what I'm doing now.
So you reinvented yourself. Where most people think COVID was the absolute negative, for you it became almost this door of opportunity. Because I know your fellow colleagues, Jamie and others with the podcast that you did, Chris McCluskey. And who else? What was the fourth person?
Yeah, the Michael McGreevy.
I like him too. So what did your wife say? What did your kids say? I mean, I get it, man. When you're a dad and you come down the stairs and say, hey, family, we got to reinvent ourselves. There's some pressure there.
Big time. Two stories actually come to mind during that time. It was both like in April and May, because I think, you know, everything was fresh in March, right? Like we're all in this lockdown phase, and I'm having these hard conversations, laying off my employees. And then April, I'm kind of getting them set up with all their state unemployment stuff. And then it's like, all right, kind of that tourniquet is done for these guys, right? Now let's talk about the Niemeyer family and what are we going to do to proceed here? And actually it was on the podcast. I remember telling this story on that podcast that I remember sitting at the edge of the bed with my wife one evening, And this is, everything is raw. You know, we're kind of looking at our finances and all this stuff. And I just said, honey, we need to have a quick conversation here. I just want you to know that we're going to be okay. Like financially, we're going to be fine. We've had, you know, different buckets of investments and money. And so we're going to be okay financially. Mm. I know there's going to be a journey here to me figuring things out and moving forward.
Okay.
I just kind of laid it out there. I said, this is the time where, whether it was the dot-com crisis or the, you know, Great Depression, this was the time when guys would jump out of a building.
Wow.
Run in front of a train.
Yeah, that's true. So
I want to just give you permission to check in with me, because I'm going to have some kind of tough days here. And I remember sitting there and in tears, just saying, I know we're going to be fine, but this is wrong.
That's you know? Dude. Thanks for sharing that. Wow.
And so that was just good to kind of talk about that with her and explore kind of me reinventing myself. And I put a list of questions together, kind of coaching questions of myself and to myself. And then actually you mentioned Dan Miller, I'm still in his mastermind. I put a post in that mastermind group and said, I'm planning a retreat day, personal retreat day for Chris Niemeyer, kind of reinvention. What questions would you ask me? And so I had this awesome list of like 20 or 30 questions that I just sat with at a beach and for a day, just sort of reimagine things. So that was super helpful. Another thing that happened that month was, again, craziness every morning, kind of just a little bit of worry, right? But a little bit of like, I got to figure this out. I got to, you know, replace some income. And I remember walking to Home Depot with my youngest daughter, she's 5 years old. And I'm just, you know, busy in my own head. And I'm sitting, holding my little 5-year-old daughter's hand. We're walking kind of to wait in line. Remember, couldn't get into buildings. You had to wait in line back at the time. And we're passing the garden nursery area. And she said, Daddy, let's stop and smell the flowers.
Wow.
And I just remember that. I'm still emotional thinking about that particular moment, because I needed someone like my 5-year-old daughter to say, Daddy, pause, slow down, let's enjoy life. It's going to be okay. And that really was a big trigger for me to say, whatever I'm going to do, and we'll talk about all that stuff, but whatever I'm going to do, I don't want to miss those kind of moments. I want to have more time to invest with my family.
So it's like God spoke through your 5-year-old daughter that day.
Absolutely, man. It was a precious moment.
That's so good. All right. Jump in now. You have the beach day. You have the day where you're reinventing yourself. You're asking yourself questions. What did you emerge with? What answers did you come up with?
Yeah. So I've, like you, been in this kind of online thought leader, whatever type of space, right? And so coaching and courses and community, all that kind of stuff is familiar, right? And I could have certainly gone down that path. I still had a couple of coaching programs that I still out there and selling, but I really sat with a couple of questions. A couple of them in particular were, what am I interested in? You know, what can I talk a lot about? What am I, you know, some of the giftings in terms of what I study, what have I applied over the years in business? And also, how have I changed in the last 15 years since starting my first companies? What have I been equipped with, right? Well, a couple of those things were, you know, I started dabbling in real estate investments back in 2011. We started kind of buying a property or two every year or so, just knowing that I wanted exposure to real estate as a long-term wealth builder. Back in 2014, I think, is when I first heard of like crypto and Bitcoin and blockchain. And I didn't really do anything with it. I was busy with, you know, making babies and running companies and all that kind of stuff. But I actually looked back at a journal back in 2016, this time of the year, December 2016, where I reflect and I move forward to goal planning. And I said, and I wrote down in there, get involved in blockchain and buy my first Bitcoin. And so I did that in January 2017. I bought my first, opened some crypto accounts, invested in a few different coins, and really started kind of become a student of blockchain and the technology of smart contracts and digital ledger and all that to go, boy, this really feels like innovation in a big way. Mm. And I want to be part of that.
Wow.
And so have talked a lot about that over the years privately, you know, with friends and family here and there.
Yeah.
And so felt like when I answered that question at that little retreat day, I went, you know what? That certainly still is an area of, I think, massive innovation. Mm. In 2020, and especially this year in 2021, we're starting to see it become much more mainstream. Major, major companies around the world are embracing blockchain technology. So I said, you know, I want to be a student of something that is innovative and forward thinking. Mm-hmm. And so that really kind of threw me into this idea of blockchain and crypto and telling others more about this space.
I love it. Chris, it's interesting because you have been interested in blockchain longer than me. However, in the last 12 months, the last 6 months especially, man, I just went like crazy deep into it. Huh. And I mean, I'm talking with just the other day, I advised a country, a national board, and I can't disclose what country or who, but I advised them on blockchain technology. And there's people who think you are crazy. There's people who think I'm crazy. And is that part? And again, you're like, this podcast has yet to launch. I've been holding this back and I've been saving episodes, and this thing's going to launch here in December. It is December, but like in 2 weeks, in a week or two, you know?
Very cool.
I think once you jump in and you kind of say, okay, blockchain, Bitcoin, crypto, you used to get like a stereotype.
Right.
Like what are you, you know, are you nuts? Are you crazy? And yet now we're seeing Walmart, Chipotle, we're seeing voting, we're seeing medical. I mean, we are literally seeing every industry say, it's kind of like almost back in the 90s when you said, why do we need the internet? We have a brochure.
Yeah.
You know, why do we need a website? We have a little pamphlet. Chris, talk to me about how you think this is. Why is this becoming mainstream?
You hit on a couple of points there. I think because it's still relatively new and early technology, over the past few years, it was kind of seen as this fringe thing, right? The dark web, and it was mysterious, and you couldn't really understand it or explain it. But I think you're seeing more and more smart people realize there is some massive potential here. When you start to understand it at kind of a CTO level, chief technology officer level, which a lot of companies were starting to do, is to get into the boardrooms of Fortune 500 companies and say, listen, this may be a mysterious technology to you still, but let me explain what it can do for you as a company. They started to go, aha. And those aha moments are becoming more mainstream now. And like you just said, I mean, Visa, MasterCard, Goldman Sachs, everyone is now here because they're understanding what it can do in terms of putting a digital ledger and smart contracts in the cloud for all to see, instead of having a more centralized approach where, you know, we have so many stories of billions of dollars worth of scam and other things going on when you have a centralized database. Yeah. I can give you examples of what, you know, Wells Fargo is a classic example. And you remember that years ago, Wells Fargo, they got caught red-handed.
Yes.
By creating millions of credit accounts in people's names, in customers' names, so that they could get bonuses and all this kind of stuff. So it was like you had a team of employees creating stuff out of thin air because only they had the database.
Yep.
When you have a blockchain database that's all up there and it's got to be verified by multiple people, that can't happen.
Exactly.
And so I think you're starting to see people realize, wow, okay, there's some big opportunities here. And, you know, I like to ask people when they kind of push back too, and they're like, oh, I don't think it's the future. I go, so are we going to stay with or go back to like fax machines and pagers, or are we moving forward? You know, let's talk about innovation.
Oh yeah. I look back and, you know, I'm going to, not yet, but I'm going to have you stand up and show your shirt in a moment. This is a big anticipation. But as I got into blockchain, I love philosophy and psychology. And so I noticed three shifts that I think led to why we're here. And maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. But I think one, you hit it. It was the Great Recession. And it was this closed system where trust was violated because of the mortgage situation. That's one. Two, election fraud, both sides. But this whole count every vote, count every real vote. Do we even matter with voting? So to me, that was the second strike. This now we can't even trust our government. Then the third strike was the pandemic, and whatever country you want to say came up with Corona, but it was the cloaking of the truth, the hiding of, hey, this is a problem. And again, it was that centralized trust that was betrayed, and now it's affected everyone. So three strikes: housing market, elections, pandemic. And now, if you can stand up and show your shirt, because to me, this is why blockchain and Bitcoin is so powerful. It's more, it's a psychology. What do you got here?
It is. Yeah. So I have this shirt. This is kind of a.
You got conservative, you progressive, lying through libertarian, lying through, and Bitcoiner.
Bitcoiner. Yeah.
And
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
That what you just shared really, really hits on something that I found to be true of the community as a whole. I've been involved in a couple of different online groups and still am. June of last year, I went to Bitcoin 2020 in Miami. And it was the biggest.
I got to tell you this. I watched every hour, every minute online. Because I knew you were going. And I thought, oh, I just found out about this. But then they like live streamed it. So I literally did yard work for three straight days. But go for it. Tell us about Miami, the Congress people who were there, Mayweather, Paris Hilton. I mean, Jack Dorsey, you had the who's who of all society. Talk to us, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I will. And to the point you just made, though, in terms of what I observed in that community of people, and it was maybe skewed to a little younger, 25 to 45 year olds, but there were certainly generations there. But what I found interesting was, to your point, it was a belief system where people were fed up with those things you mentioned.
Yeah.
And there were some of the most generous, kind people in terms of giving of their information and sharing a depth and breadth of knowledge. I mean, you're sitting in the bathroom line or waiting for a taco in a taco truck, and you're talking to the stranger because you have a shared belief in something in a system that I think is changing.
Yes.
And their pioneers are part of it. And that's what you saw with those people you mentioned, the Jack Dorseys and Michael Saylors and Floyd Mayweather. All those guys, they are innovators. Tony Hawk was a speaker.
Tony Hawk, great talk, man. Great talk,
right? I mean, he really talked about, like, he was certainly a fringe sports icon in his early days, right? And they talked about what was it like to kind of be in the fringe. I mean, here we are in America. Skating's not a thing, right? But baseball and football and all that is. But he talked about just adopting this trend that was happening with young people in terms of skating.
Yes.
And he just sort of rode that wave. And he believes, like many others, that's the wave we're currently on with Bitcoin, blockchain, and crypto.
I love what Tony shared when he spoke, because he said there was the mainstream. Then he said there were the fringe, who were like the skaters, drugs, illegal. But then there was Tony, who was kind of in the middle, where he wasn't, you know, past the drugs, I'll be that skater, but he wasn't just going to play baseball or lacrosse or whatever. I think that's what's happening with the Bitcoin, the blockchain community is, yeah, you got your fringe people who are like crazy, crazy, you know, and maybe they're just pushing it incredible. Then you have your traditional people, but you do have this third group like you, like me. Some of our guests coming up in the next few weeks, we have military specialist who is a consultant for blockchain. And we have bill collections person who's using blockchain. I mean, it's nuts, but let's talk about this for a moment because you were actually in the room. Miami, and this is the danger, in my opinion, Chris. This is, man, you get me excited about this. when you try to suppress this, like they did with automobiles, I guess, in Europe in the beginning, they said, oh, automobiles will kill people. You gotta, you know, have someone wave a flag and yell down the road when people drive. If we push out Bitcoin and blockchain like New York did, Miami is attracting, I mean, you got who? The mayor. Miami's the city of Bitcoin. Yeah. Why in Wyoming, what's her name? Senator Cynthia or something like that.
Loomis, yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that we're starting to see that people are just going to go, forget Republican, forget Democrat, forget Libertarian. Why do you think people are going to the areas that are Bitcoin friendly?
Well, I think it's about innovation. I think there's an excitement around this that is people that do see it clearly are saying there's so much opportunity here that's just barely touched yet. You have certain governments and states that are saying, no, we got to clamp down and control, right? But this type of technology, you really can't, frankly, suppress. I mean, it's out of the bag. How many times has China tried to kill Bitcoin? Mm-hmm. How many times has there been scares about from the IRS or from the Treasury, from the Fed over the years? Yeah. I mean, there are pages of that kind of stuff. It can't really be suppressed. And so you have these forward-looking, innovative type of politicians like the mayor of Miami, who's now gets all his salary in Bitcoin. They're looking for ways to issue and transact even utility bills for their citizens in Bitcoin, in crypto type of things. So I think you have people that are saying, we're going to be ahead of the curve. Mm. It's that classic thing we talk about in terms of, do you want to be, you know, the Netflix or do you want to be Blockbuster?
Yeah.
You know, do you want to cling to the old or do you want to adapt and become part of the new? Interesting thing. Maybe this is like a future conversation, but I'm actually studying some of the biggest horse farmers of the 1900s. So think about that. Some of the biggest ranchers of the day that were the means of transportation for society. How did some of those adapt, or did they? What were some of the stories?
Yes.
As the carriageless buggy, a car became mainstream. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that is playing out. I think you're starting to see companies embrace blockchain.
What are you reading? Where are you studying that on your own?
I just started Googling stuff. I haven't even found like books to consume yet, but there's a lot of great essays out there in terms of kind of how people either adapted or did not in that timing.
Do you study Andreas Antopoulos?
Remind me.
So he wrote a trilogy called The Internet of Money.
Okay.
And I'm going to encourage you. You're probably reading one of his essays, but he's the one who says that automobiles. Okay, check this out, man. This is cool. All right. In the beginning, everyone mocks the technology, right? Mm-hmm. Because think about it. You have dirt roads full of manure, full of grooves, and you're trying to run an automobile on the old road. Mm. Okay. So this is his analogy. You look stupid. You're kicked up in your knees in manure. people are riding by you, mocking you. You know, what is that loser doing? It's a death machine. Anytime somebody gets killed or there's an accident, it makes the front page news, just like Tesla and, what was his name? Edison with, you know, Edison's creating, you know, suicide houses by putting
lightning rods.
Yeah. So in the beginning, they mock it. But then here's what's interesting. They create new roads, which you just nailed it. Open up skateboarding, scooters, motorcycles. In other words, the new road allows all these new technological inventions that were never even possible. Then the horse is actually having it easier, but then it becomes obsolete. It's the same thing, and this is not my own thought, this is Andreas's thought, but it's the same thing they did with phone lines. Phone lines were the old roads, and the phone companies said, don't you dare use our phone line for the internet. And they mocked it, and they said, you'll never get the quality. Then they used the internet, and now all the phone lines are no longer the old lines. So that's kind of the technological shift that Andreas talks about, is how we're in that phase right now where the people mocking it are ceasing to mock it. And like you just said, Chase, Visa, where are you seeing this, Chris, with people that were once haters? Even my church, I went up to my church in the summer and I said, hey, Pastor Dean, have you thought about accepting offering through crypto?
Yeah.
And guess what? You ready for this? You watch this. I said, you know, if you want to talk about that, I'll talk about it. I'd love to help you. 2 weeks later, I go on their website. He already did it on his own.
Awesome.
Without even, you know, I think that there's that personality, but talk to us, Chris. Yeah. What do you got?
That's so interesting. I literally 2 weeks ago just got introduced to the finance guy at our church. And we're one of the biggest churches here in the Tampa Clearwater area. Cause someone at church afterwards introduced me and said, hey, you need to talk to this guy because I just heard that someone wants to gift crypto and Bitcoin to the church, but they don't have an on-ramp for that yet. And so I'm having that same conversation, which is kind of cool.
I'm going to give you the website for our church, and then lifepointohio.com, lifepointohio.com. There's actually a company that helps churches now. So anyone,
what's the name of it? I just was looking this up and I sent him that text. But yeah, there's a church that helps.
Yeah. So if you go to lifepointohio.com and then go to give, and then it'll say, I'm going there right now. Credit, stocks, and crypto. Those are your three options. Crypto is how you can give. And then it's powered by Engiven, Engiven. That's how, and they work with Compassion International, cool. Salvation Army, United Way, Saddleback Church. So we're giving awesome shout outs to all these people. But yeah, talk to us, Chris.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to become so mainstream. And you're absolutely right. There's a graph. I'll have to find this graph, but it talks about just innovative ideas, just like the internet. I mean, you can go back to and document thought leaders of the day, the Federal Reserve Chair, others who are on record, opinion pieces in the New York Times, whatever, saying it's probably a passing fad, this whole thing about the internet, right? I mean, there's some great headlines about what people were saying about the internet. Well, now you're seeing that. In fact, I just read the other day, I believe it was the Wall Street Journal, former SEC chairman put an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, this just happened this week, about blockchain and why the federal government, the feds, the treasury, Congress needs to make things happen because of the shift that's happening technologically and from a greater geopolitical perspective too. Because look, you got China, who there's speculation on what they are or are not doing,
sure,
but they've tried to clamp down on Bitcoin mining and crypto and all that. If that's truly the stance they're taking and some other countries are too, well, then how do you balance that? How do you become a country of, hey, we're currently still the reserve currency of the world, this system and blockchain and all this kind of global payments that we're part of now, we could lose that status if we don't engage with this technology. And so part of his point in that opinion piece was, we have to embrace this. This really is kind of, you're either going to pass by the wayside by the horseless buggy passing those horses, or you're going to be in the horseless buggy, right? Ooh, and so I think you're seeing a lot of that happen. You mentioned it earlier. Now we can, whether it's your church or Starbucks or Chipotle or your Cash App or Venmo, it's out there now. So the on-ramps and off-ramps are currently being built by some of the biggest brands that we all use. I think there's going to be a lot more conversation over these holidays about crypto than there ever has been. As families get together, they start sharing stories about, well, you know, are you in it or not? I know friends that are gifting crypto to their family members just to say, get started, get something in your wallet and make it less mysterious because you're finally into it.
And that's part of it, Chris. We'll talk offline about all my secrets that I have planned for this next year. Because I only want to leak stuff out slowly. But I will say this, I jumped into this space. We're just talking about crypto a little bit, but help the person understand. And I know you have a course on this too. And I purchased it because, listen, man, I have just filled my mind with so much about blockchain and not necessarily crypto. Crypto is one piece. It's the currency. But help people understand the difference between blockchain, NFTs, and crypto, because someone might be just listening to this for the first time today and they think it's all the same. Mm-hmm. Can you just give us a boom, boom, boom?
Yeah, let me try to be brief here. I would imagine blockchain as the railway system that goes all across America. Mm. Blockchain is the rails. Blockchain is getting transactions. It's getting stuff to and from data, currency. So you put crypto, which is just a currency that could be Bitcoin or any other coin, is built upon that blockchain. That's what's moving across those systems. Okay. NFTs, very similar, right? It's built upon blockchain technology. So what is blockchain? Blockchain really at its very core, it's a bunch of data. It's a bunch of data up in a cloud that's open for all to see. And then you can create these kind of what are called smart contracts. It's an if then, then this. If this happens, then this happens, then this happens. It's a seamless way to, through, you know, algorithmic stuff that, I mean, there's some math stuff I still don't quite understand, right? But through certain things, it happens and it processes in a seamless way. An example I give, because this is part of what I do also quite a bit, is real estate. Mm. If you're listening and if you've ever bought, been part of a transaction or refinanced recently, just think about that process. There are so many layers of people involved, of fees involved, of data. I mean, it feels like if you're like us and you're self-employed, they're asking for so much paperwork. It's like, here's my kindergarten report card too. Do you want that? Like,
yeah.
I mean, but now think about that. If all of that had the ability to get put into a cloud, why would we need loan processors and county assessors and title companies? I mean, those honestly, very, very honestly, I'm telling friends about this. Those are types of companies that I would not want to be starting right now, because I think within 5 years, they're obsolete.
I agree.
So there's so many layers within just the economy and the way that people do and conduct business internally and externally to the client, B2B, B2C, blockchain is going to seamlessly make that happen for all of our benefit too.
It's so cool because blockchain affects every type of trust interaction. And if you and I would have thought years ago, Chris, that we would pull out a phone in a dark city, enter our address, have a random stranger pick us up in a car from another country, maybe that we don't even know. We don't even know if they have a license, if they're safe, and then drive us to a destination, we would say, you are nuts. And yet Uber works because of verified trust. And in the blockchain, that's exactly what you're talking about. We have trust and it's distributed. And so therefore it shortens the gap between doing business with people. And I love what you're saying. Smart contracts, self-execution of this. We don't even need people anymore. You know, there's going to be haters that are watching this that just say, oh, it's the end times. You know, the end times, and you know, let's just go in our house and hide. Chris, why do you think, here's a question. Oh, maybe we'll call this the episode. Would Jesus use blockchain or would Jesus use Bitcoin? What do you think, man? What do you think about technology and faith? And I know you're a faith person. What do you think about some of those issues that might be stretching people's faith right now?
You know, the first story that I went to when you asked that question, Jesus was one who called out truth, and he called out people, and he called out the Pharisees. He called out the establishment, didn't he? And he was not short on his words of to the point honesty of saying, you know, you whitewash tombs, you hypocrite.
Wow.
So I would surmise that I would think he sees the reality of the people that are the haters, the people that are saying, no, don't use this technology. No, it's going to be end times, mark of the beast, yada, yada.
Yeah.
They're the same people who are in control. Okay. So if you think of it from a perspective of, let's just use the feds in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The politicians, if you will, which I used to be in politics. There's a whole story there. I got out of politics when I learned the Greek of politics. You'd appreciate this. Because you know, you've been a pastor, you know Greek, right? So politics is a multi-word, poly, meaning many, and then ticks, blood-sucking leeches.
Wow.
but politicians are those kind of blood-sucking leeches. They're hungry for power. And if there's a technology out there that could disrupt power and their grip on it and their control of people's minds, we've seen through this pandemic the power of fear.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I would think Jesus would say, let the truth be truth. Let you be free with truth, right?
Free. I like that. I like that. A couple things here as we land the plane, because we're going to have to bring you back for another episode, man. We haven't even gotten into so many other things. By the way, have you read The Creature from Jekyll Island?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we're gonna encourage some people. If you think, you know, what, Chris is crazy, Carrie's crazy, read The Creature from Jekyll Island. It talks about how the dollar today is 96, I believe, percent less value than it was in the, you know, early 1900s. Again, check my dates, but the point is this, folks. Inflation is the biggest crime. And I didn't understand all this, Chris, because I grew up as a pastor. And I mean, I didn't go to one business class in my life. But once I started to really understand that when we print money, we're robbing people who've done the hard work. It is anti-biblical.
I couldn't agree with that.
You know, I mean, I know you get passionate about this. I got to share one other book with you, and then we'll land this plane. This book, man, I'm telling you, I bought it kind of like as a joke, and I started reading it. Have you read this book?
Thank God for Bitcoin. No, I have not.
I'm okay, listen. Okay, your mind is going to be blown, because I read this book and I'm like, whatever, I'll probably return this thing. Here's what the book is. Turn in Leviticus and then Bitcoin. Turn in Matthew and then blockchain. The guys who wrote this are in the Bitcoin community. You would know some of the authors. Okay. And they basically give a biblical exegetical position for why Bitcoin is actually not You know how we always say money is not good or bad, it's neutral? Mm-hmm. I said that for years as a pastor. When you read this book, you're going to understand that no, money is not neutral. The type of money and the way that money produces value can actually be evil.
Interesting, which makes sense. If you have a centralized figure, which to the point of the creature from Jekyll Island was the Federal Reserve,
yeah,
right? Which by the way, is a complete oxymoron. The Federal Reserve is neither federal, nor does it have reserves.
Exactly.
I mean, if people truly understand the banking system and what the Federal Reserve is, it's not a government authority.
No.
And so, but yet they control the money and the money supply. And we complain about the rich getting richer, which has been exacerbated by and through COVID. Yeah. Guess what? There's a select few that understand how money, how inflation, yes, how assets work, and the protection against what they're trying to do to the other 99%.
Yes.
And so that's one reason why I'm very passionate about this, is getting friends and family and those I'm connected to understand, guys, you're being stolen from every single month. Every time you get a paycheck or a profit from your business, you need to at least have some exposure to this new form of money, because it will truly protect you. Because people can't understand inflation through the pandemic and housing prices and stock prices and gas and food, it's all gone up because of what the Federal Reserve has done.
Because there's more money in the supply chain. Exactly. Next time you come on, we have to get into the concept of the unbanked and the 6 billion people who are actually going to be blessed and given their, I would say, divine right through Bitcoin because of banking. I mean, that's another thing we didn't even get into, and we don't have time for it today. But tell you what, Chris, how about you read that book? And
let's do it.
Would you tell me something I should read? And my audience, and then let's come back and do part two. And then you tell me what you learned, and I'll tell you what I learned. And I just would continue this chat. Yeah,
let's do it. There's a guy I met at the at the conference, and he literally wrote the book on blockchain. It's called The History of Blockchain. Huge book, very technical. We're still in contact. He's helping me. We definitely have to do round two, because there's so much more in terms of, I think 2022 is going to be the year where people start understanding and join their first DAO, decentralized autonomous organization.
Oh yeah,
which is all built on blockchain and all that.
They're going to start using their DApps.
Yes, exactly. So DApps and DeFi and all that. Yeah. That's really Web 3.0, and that's really, because if you think about that too, just like in the control of money, there's a control of information. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on within politics.
Oh, yeah.
You saw a clear power grab by technology companies of the world that said, you know what, we're going to limit this to be viewed online. We're going to limit this because internet as a whole right now is a very centralized form.
Yes.
Web 3.0 and the distribution of information that's trustless is going to become the new thing. And so I think, anyway, read that book, because I'm working on a project with him. I bought a pretty significant URL that I'll tell you about later. That's a big project for next year about blockchain. I can't wait to share more when it all comes out. But
well, you're going to be
a great conversation.
You're going to be a massively requested back guest. So we might just need to, when we hang up, schedule again. Tell us the name. The History of Blockchain is the book.
History of Blockchain. It's Elias. I cannot even pronounce his last name because he's Eastern European.
That's all right.
But History of Blockchain.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll put that in there. We'll chat more. And Chris, I followed you. You're one of the people that, like I said, 7 months ago, when my eyes started really opening, I'm like, that dude's bald. I like him. No, I'm kidding. But here's why I started following you. You're balanced. Okay. Because, you know, you do get people out there who we call it go down the rabbit hole, and they just kind of like go a little bit too far. You're grounded. You have a faith. You have a family. I love how you started today. by saying I was rooted in business, in the vacation travel. I had a pivot. You took the personal retreat. You worked with Dan Miller. I mean, so much goodness here. Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, just go to chrisniemeyer.com. And you can spell that in the show notes, but N-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R.com. That's where you can find me. I'm on socials there as well. So at Instagram is Chris Niemeyer, as well as Facebook. So yeah, look forward to connecting. And Kerry, it's been a great conversation. It's so rare to meet people who are almost equally as excited about this technology, man. This space, and you've got the knowledge in it too. So I love what you're doing. Keep up the great work.
You got a book in you yet? You got a book out yet?
Oh man, I probably do. This is one area for next year.
we got 5 minutes. We'll hit stop, and then you and I will chat. Okay, if you got time.
Sounds good, Kerry. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.